who wants to open us up in prayer? The one with the microphone. Ah, Kayla. Hey, look at that. It happened to be a sister. How sweet, right? Would you mind? Amen. Thank you. Now, I'm not sure if anyone was is curious about this, but I felt I kind of had to spend a few moments on this just because I don't know if it's just me and how my mind works, just a little insight. So we'll have a little bunny trail at the very beginning. But, you know, with today's knowledge in the internet, you know, any one of you guys could go on the line and find it being a little bit confusing. Yeah, that was a joke. to be a little confusing why Christians celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th. You know, in a day of age where people love to prove other people wrong, you know, no one can really agree on pinpointing Jesus' birthday the exact day when it actually happened. But most people will agree that it more than likely isn't December 25th. You know, in chances, it probably wasn't in December. I don't know that. It doesn't really say, gives the exact date in the Bible, but there's a lot of speculations between when they would have held the census and when the shepherds would be out in the fields, and there's a lot of different thoughts. Now, when I was growing up, when I was your guys' age, I just pictured Israel as this just desert place, right? This hot, hot Sierra desert place. But in all actuality, you know, they have a lot of agriculture. They get snow, and definitely in parts of it, in Galilee and Jerusalem, they get snow. It's kind of crazy. And I guess it's kind of like somebody from back east, what's never been to Arizona, they are surprised to hear about Pine Top. I personally told some people, they're like, oh, well, I thought it was just desert and Indians running around, and that's Arizona, right? But then for the ones of us who has been out in the desert, especially at night or during the winter, it still gets cold, doesn't it? It gets cold. Just because it's desert, sun goes down, it gets cold during winter. And then to add to the date that it might be wrong, there's a lot of pagan traditions that are kind of twisted together with Christian traditions, right? We all know, like, there wasn't a Christmas tree in the manger, right? We all know this. Right? And there's a lot of different things. And how it got started, it was a little sketchy, the celebration they had at that same time. But what I think is that the early church, the early Christians, they were taking a pagan celebration and they were trying to change what they put their hope on in focusing it on the true hope of the world. Now, plus winter, we all know winter is right now, right? It could be cold, it could be dark, and it could be depressing. It could be very depressing for a lot of people. And whenever life feels like that, we should always add Jesus, right? There's nothing better to do than to add Jesus. Now, it's been about 1,500 years or somewhere around there, probably more. I didn't really do the math. So I don't think Christmas is ready to change the date. right? I don't think all of a sudden, oh, okay, we found this out, we're going to change it. It's kind of stuck with us. And I don't think Jesus is upset that Christmas, that we marked that date as his birth. You know, I don't think he's welcoming people up in heaven going, well, hi, but you know that's not really my birthday, right? You know, I don't think he's like that. And if it was important to him, he probably would have changed it a long time ago. Because he could have. He could have just changed it. Now, we know that he was born. You know, we have a date set. That the world knows the birth happened, right? I would say most of the people would celebrate Christmas, they know Jesus come along with it. They might not be believers, but they know that's something else what goes along with Christmas. So we have that. So as Christians, we need to make sure to remember that the first Christmas story is the one about Jesus' birth. And speaking of that, so where do you think you would find a record of that birth? Yes, where? Oh, the Bible. The Bible. That's why you held up the Bible. I got you. I'm getting with you. All right, the Bible. So let's be a little bit more specific. Which book are books? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, right? Exactly, right? It would probably be at the end of those books, right? No, the beginning, because those books are about Jesus' life. Right? All right, so is it just in the New Testament? No? No, it's not just in the New Testament? No, there's prophecies, right? There's prophecies that prophesize about Jesus' birth in the Old Testament. Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. And I'm just going to pick out a few. Yes, there's a lot up there. Yes.
For unto a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be
All right, then let's turn back to Isaiah 7, 14. Sorry, I should. Isaiah 7, 14. Nick, do you have the other mic? And then Isaiah 53. A lot of chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, 3 through 7. Kayla?
He is despised and rejected by man, and man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our
iniquities.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears in silence. So he opened not his mouth.
Isaiah wrote these things at least 700 years, and I think some put it longer, but at least 700 years before Jesus was born. Pretty accurate, don't you think? There was a lot of detail in those prophecies, what he wrote down. Yes? Can you imagine 700 years? It's crazy. I mean, one person once figured out, did the math, and it's crazy. It's just to pinpoint some of these prophecies, it's like the state of Texas. You know, the state of Texas is pretty huge, right? Fairly huge. If you had the state of Texas and you filled it up with silver dollars a foot high, right, and you marked one of them, just one, so you're talking there'd be billions of silver dollars laying on the ground. You put one of them and painted the back of it and threw it in the mix. Then you set somebody out there to wonder, they take as long as they wanted and reach down and pick up one, and they'd pick up that one. That's the chances of these prophecies coming true. And that's just one. But there are several prophecies coming true at the same time. It's just crazy. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. So if we're in chapter 1, it's at the very beginning, right? And we just said that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John at the very beginning was what? What's in those first chapters? The birth of Jesus, right. So what do we think we're going to read about? The birth of Jesus. Awesome. You guys are there. All right, so Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23, and that's exactly what we'll read about. And Elena, do you want to read that? Sure.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
All right, so that was stripped down version of the first Christmas, right? Anybody have any questions? We've all heard this before, haven't we? Many times through Sunday school, always around this time of year. So this first Christmas, what was the family doing? What were they doing this Christmas, this first Christmas? Yes. Right, exactly. I know I didn't really specify in there, I'm sorry. Sorry for the O's. But we all know that, right? We should all know that. I mean, we've heard this story a lot. They were traveling, and they were traveling together, right? And then there was no room at the end. You all know the story, right? So they were in a stable. And then, obviously, so this family on Christmas was together, right? They were together, and they were there for each other. I'm sure, you know, especially during childbirth, that, you know, Joseph was there for Mary. And these young parents received a precious gift. So how do you guys celebrate Christmas? What is your tradition? Hopefully it's not riding on a donkey, right, in the cold weather. Yeah, I think most people have that tradition, right? Yeah. Open tamales. Oh, that's getting me hungry. It's kind of lunchtime. Anybody else have, like, any traditions they like to share? Go down, sneak a peek, and then wrap it back up, and then go to sleep? No? That's the funnest tradition. We got into the tradition of opening one gift on Christmas Eve. You know, I remember this one time we went to, you know, a Christmas Eve service. It was candlelight service. And then came back, and I was very young, and it was like, oh, all the presents were all out when we were gone. It was like, oh, that's awesome. But, yeah, I believe that's that. I don't know, there's another tradition that's kind of weird, but that we shouldn't, what we tell our kids, but it goes along with the season. Not really. Hopefully I didn't spoil anything. But anything else, any other traditions? No? Basically, yes, Levi? Oh, so do you go around the tree and you just get available to pick one out? That's an interesting way. I didn't know, you know, how people, you know, because my dad's is on the 30th, so that's kind of after, but I've known people what are like the day of or right the day before. And the 23rd, yeah, I heard. Christmas Eve. Yeah. We combined them together, right? Yeah, we have to wrap, a lot of people, you have to wrap them different, not Christmas colors, because it's the birthday, right? So do we think it was much different than that first? I mean, there's Christmas gifts, right? You know, the parents got a gift, got their gift. His baby Jesus, right? So they received gifts. And then, like 2 years after Jesus was born, he got gifts from other people because they knew that happened, from the wise men. So is it kind of different or is it similar? So the traditions are a little bit similar, right? Right, family getting together, family being there for each other, and receiving gifts. Now, it's fun getting gifts, right? It's just, I'll face it, let's be truthful. It's fun getting gifts, but it is fun giving gifts too, right? Can't everybody agree with that? It was fun going to the nursing home, and passing out gifts, wasn't it, last weekend? Yeah, you guys missed it. Sorry. You came back 1 week too late. We went to the nursing home and we passed out gifts. That was a good time. Now, do we have to work or pay for a gift? To what? To possibly, yeah. But to receive one. When you're receiving a gift, do you have to work for it? Do you have to pay for it? No. What? Sometimes. Well, there are some gray areas. I mean, you could think that way, and I'm going to hit something here in a second, but why do we give gifts?
Because
Why do you give gifts? Because you're obligated to give gifts. It's not the goodness in my heart. Ah. I just feel like I need to. Right? Why do you guys give gifts? To make people happy? Why would you want to do that, Elena? Because you care about them. That's an awesome answer, right? Everybody agree that's an awesome answer? It's because you care about other people. That's why you give gifts. In Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians real quick. All right, well, you have as much time as I do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Brendan, do you want to read that?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
So it's the gift of God. It's so that we can't boast, right? We can't say, oh, look what I did. Look, Mom and Dad, I deserve that motorcycle. I did all this good stuff, right? Well, I guess you better start paying for your dad's motorcycle, right? I would kill myself on a motorcycle. Your dad's probably much safer than me. in on that, as far as quick pro quo, right? Parents, all parents, you know, they want you to be on the nice list, right? They pretty much want you to be on the nice list. But that's not why you get gifts. Because who here hasn't screwed up throughout the week, who has screwed up at least one time in the year and still found a present underneath the tree? Right? So it's not because of what you did, it's because they care about you, because they love you. Now, I mean, that's not a reason for you guys to go crazy. Oh, I'll just get gifts anyways, right? Right? We shouldn't be that way, but it's not because of what we do. It's not because of our works. You know, gifts are given freely with no strings attached. You know, it's not about the thank yous, but a little side note is the polite thing is to do or to say thank you, right? It's always good to be polite. We should be grateful for what we get. But it's not about the thank yous, but we should do it, right? We understand the differences here, don't we? That we should be polite in these things. But giving gifts is about love, about caring for other people. In 2 Corinthians, we're going to turn backwards. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Gretchen, do you have the mic?
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
You know, I mean, it is true. I mean, thank you, God, for Jesus, right? Indescribable. I mean, all that Jesus did is indescribable. I mean, what he did for us, for our sins. I mean, we could describe it, but I mean, it's like, whoa, what he went through just for us. He didn't even know us, but he did it for us too. You know, God had given us a gift. Now, how, you know, when we receive gifts or when we're looking underneath that tree, when we see that, how do we know who this gift is for?
It has a name on it.
The tag. Or the person tells you, but there's a tag, right? This one says anyone. So. Wallpaper coordinator. All right, and then Jesus also has given us a tag. And it's, you could see it in John 3:16. And we'll read 17 also. So let's turn there. We all know it by heart, at least the John 3:16, right? Most people have had to remember that. John 3:16 and 17. Cassie. You can read it there or read it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So who is this gift from God for? Everyone, right? And it's not just for those who believe right now. It's for everyone. Even people that don't believe, even people that you may disagree with. Politically correct, disagree with them, right? Maybe your enemies. It's for them too, right? It's for everyone. It's for anyone. All nations. However, there is a catch, is a gift is not really yours until you choose to receive it. Right? It does you no good unless you take it, unwrap it, right, and make it yours. You know, if your sibling, say your brother or sister, gets this game as a gift, it doesn't make it yours. Right, Josiah? You can't use Stephen's game unless you get permission. It's his. Right? It's his game. He could choose to share it, to show you, but it belongs to him. God's gift of salvation through Jesus is the same. You know, it's not automatically yours. You know, we must first choose to receive it. Just because your parents are Christians at birth doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You need to choose your own faith. You know, they could help you along your steps, but you need to choose to follow Jesus. In Matthew, we're going to turn back to Matthew. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Emily, can you read that?
It will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
And then, Ryan, can you read John 3:36?
The Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
All right. So we need to seek, we need to knock to receive, right? You know, it's never going to be kept from us, this gift, but we do need to ask for it. You know, and we can't be shy with God. You know, because if we're too shy to ask, you know, we may never receive it. So you, I mean, the consequences are kind of crazy. And we need to be truthful with God. Because we could look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and I know I just kind of added that on Brendan, so it's not going to be up on the screen. And then maybe throw it over. Sir Stephen. You see, is when we do receive, we need to practice what we receive. We need to make it our own. You know, because there are going to be those, as we see, it's a sad story, is we could see that people are going to be there as, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, look at everything I've done. Look at the works that I've done. And I imagine, you know, from these works, you know, cast out demons. You know, you'd think, oh man, that guy's for sure don't make it to heaven. He cast out demons. You know, he's done so many wondrous things in Jesus' name. But then we find out that he really wasn't a Christian. You know, he was just, he knew the right things to say, if you want to say that. So we can't be that. I mean, we need to receive, and then we need to make it our own. We need to apply it to our lives. We can't just have it on the surface and then keep our secret life here. We need to apply it to our life, our whole life. So, I do have a gift, and it is marked for anyone. That worked. Anyone want to do the honors? It's a trick. All right, that's good. It's good. Gretchen, I might just give her a little room. No, just. That is a professional Gary wrapped gift. Huh? Those spring. It was tough. They make those little pies. She got it. She's been practicing her whole life for this moment. Every year she practices. Maybe I should have done the ribbon. It's a pretty ribbon. I was trying to do a bow, but it was a little short.
It's nothing.
It's a box. It's a box. Ah!
Yes.
So, M&M's. So, we're going to share these M&M's. Oh, I know. Now I feel bad. I should buy just M&M's just for her. But we're going to share this one. And I mean, even if I know some people are healthy, conscious, if we could take at least one, and we're just going to ponder it for a second. Okay, so as she passes them out, okay, now one more thing to open, right? And this was made by somebody better than me, but. So take an M&M and have it once in your hand, or at least one in your hand, multiple if you want. You have to have it. It doesn't melt in your hands, right? It melts in your mouth, huh? But just hold it for a second, and then you could throw it away. You don't have to eat it. You don't have to eat it. But can you hold it? Oh. Is M&M's gluten? It's chocolate and covered with delicious goodness. What could be wrong with sugar? You know, side note is I heard that if you have a soda, one a day in a year, you will have consumed like 41 pounds of sugar. 41 pounds of sugar. That is crazy. That's like a large baby. Sugar. Yes. Okay. So we're almost here. Two more candidates. See if you could catch them. All right, so as we hold these candies in our hands, right, what do you notice?
They're green.
They're green and red, right? Christmas colors. Oh, there's a yellow one. But what's on the M&M? M, right?
W.
There's an M. Oh, but if you see this as you turn the candy counterclockwise, it becomes an E. And then a W, and then a 3. They tell the Christmas story that one you may sure, I'm sure you know, it took place in a stable long, long time ago. The E is for the east, where the star shone so bright. The M is for a manger, where baby Jesus slept that night. The 3 is for the gifts that were brought to him. W is for worship. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So as you eat these candies or share them with a friend, remembering the meaning of Christmas, it's a love story that never ends. Somebody else wrote that. Yes. I won't take credit for that. I don't know who did that, but I just thought I'd share that with you. And as we're finishing up, I hope you guys remember Jesus. Not just during Christmas. It's great if you do during Christmas, but all year long. Right? We set apart this day. They set apart this day a long time ago to celebrate the birth. But we should be celebrating Jesus every day. Also, I hope that you guys have received the gift of Jesus. But if you haven't, I wanted to encourage you guys, don't be afraid. Seek and ask. You know, and if you ever, ever have any questions, and we've done it, we've had calls late at night, but me, Gil, Geraldine, Michelle, we're always here for you. Stephen will answer questions. Josiah will answer questions, right? We're all here to answer some questions if you have them. P.S., I forget what that stands for. It means that I forgot something during it. But P.S., and the letter is, remember the best way to spread Christmas cheer. Singing loud for all to hear. Meaning that be bold in your actions and let people know that you're a Christian. Let's have a Merry Christmas, right? And...